So the next session is focused on muscle growth, and there most of the strategies in the field evolve around inhibition of myostatin or other members of this activin family. And so our first speaker is Jerry Mendell, and it's going to talk about follistatin as a target for increasing muscle mass and regeneration in the muscular dystrophies. Jerry's actually doing a trial with Becker, and he's going to tell you about it.
Thank you for the opportunity to review our work here. Much of it has been done with Brian Caspar, so I wanted to be sure and credit him. Basically, what we tried to do in this trial, and we conceived of it about 8 or 9 years ago, was that we would take the follistatin gene, as I'll show you, and up and inject it into the thigh muscle and improve strength here to prevent falls and the consequences of limb weakness in the Becker patients. And as you know or will know in a minute, the hypothesis is that if we block the myostatin pathway with follistatin, we can increase the distance on the 6-minute walk test. Just to briefly comment, myostatin is a circulating propeptide complex that has a protease degradation or protease cleavage and leaves a dimer that binds to the activin receptor on the muscle, and by that increases. If we block the myostatin pathway, I should finish this comment. If the myostatin dimer binds to muscle, it will prevent muscle growth. If we block this pathway with a number of different approaches, we can increase muscle size. This has been done actually in humans. It can be shown that there's a myostatin gene mutation that will block the signaling pathway and increase the size of muscle. Potentially, many approaches now are using a myostatin antibody to block this pathway. And our approach was to use follistatin, which is the most powerful single peptide to block the myostatin pathway. Just to comment, the first clinical trial was a myostatin antibody that was given to adult patients with muscular dystrophy. It was sponsored by Wyeth. I was instrumental, as Kathy Wagner was, in developing this trial with many colleagues around the country. 10 centers were included, and there was no clinical benefit in this first trial. I think things have advanced since then, and you'll see some of the results as people discuss this today. But our approach was a little different. We wanted to directly increase this blockage or impairment of the myostatin pathway using follistatin. So what we did was to put the follistatin gene into adeno-associated virus. And in this kind of approach that we use in gene therapy, we take out all of the AAV, adeno-associated virus genes, so there is really no essential infection in the sense, in the usual sense of AAV, and we inject the follistatin gene in the AAV into muscle and ask the muscle to secrete the follistatin. And that's exactly what we hope to achieve in this kind of trial. And if we do that, then we can increase the muscle fiber size and increase the strength of the muscle. We're often asked why you can't give follistatin as a single subcutaneous form of treatment, for example, pharmacologically. And basically, it's because follistatin has a very short half-life. The other thing about follistatin was there were concerns about which form of isoform of follistatin should be used, and we decided to use one that we know has the least binding of off-target effects of myostatin of the follistatin pathway, and we used one. Excuse me here. Go back here. We use one that we call FS344. It is this peptide that's 344 amino acids, and when it loses its signal peptide, it drops down to 315 circulating isoform of follistatin. And it's not bound to any pituitary gonadal axis off-target effects. That was a concern of the FDA. But using this isoform, as you'll see, we've had very good success and no serious adverse events. The first studies were done in the MDX mouse, as they often done are in preclinical studies. And we injected the follistatin gene in adeno-associated virus in the quadriceps muscle and in the gastroc muscle. And a couple of important things to notice here. Here's the control over here with GFP as the gene, which is a biomarker gene and not an active gene. And obviously there's a difference in the muscle fiber size between this MDX mouse and the control mouse. The other thing that's important about this that I think has a high relevance is that if you notice here that there is a remote effect in the sense that if you look at the paraspinal muscles here in this mouse, they're also increased in size, which has to do with what we saw physiologically, and that is not only was hind limb grip strength increased, but forelimb grip strength was also increased. So the mouse studies look very promising using this method, and then the question was, could this really extend to a clinical trial? One point about this was that often it was said that follistatin, if it was injected into the muscle, could increase activity, and then there'd be some concern about increased muscle fiber degeneration. But it was reassuring to see that in the follistatin-treated mice, the CK dropped. So that was one point that was reassuring about moving this forward. The next thing was we asked, well, if mouse studies are successful in so many ways, could we get efficacy if we went beyond the mouse and did non-human primates? And this was a very important part of the study in terms of moving things forward. So we planned a study in the non-human primate that would simulate essentially what we were going to do in the patients, and we injected the follistatin gene in the vastus lateralis, the rectus femoris, and the vastus medialis. And the result looked very promising. I'm not sure why this middle panel is, that's probably PC versus Mac, but in any case, what you can see here is if we look at individual muscle fibers in the follistatin, the one that had adeno-associated virus delivered follistatin versus the control, there's an apparent difference. But even more convincingly, if you look at the gross muscle fiber of the thigh muscle, what you can see is that the thigh muscle increased in size rather significantly. We use two different promoters. One is called a muscle-specific promoter. There are many different types of muscle-specific promoter. This one's a variant of the CK enzyme, and this is a more ubiquitous muscle promoter, which had a more profound effect. So we elected to move to clinical trial using the CMV promoter. The next thing that we had to do was to convince the FDA, which is a common stepwise approach to get to a gene therapy trial, that we had a safe product. The FDA was concerned about follistatin being a member of a rather ubiquitous protein that can affect, and tholestatin in particular, that might affect reproduction through pituitary gonadal axis hormones, might affect bone growth or cellular growth and differentiation. So actually, this is a typical approach that is what we call a toxicology study in gene therapy, but the FDA made this bar a little higher. And I just show this because this is an unusual thing the FDA made us do. Not only was the toxicology study extended out to a 9-month period, but we also had to look at pituitary hormones that might affect reproduction, FSH, LH, estradiol, and testosterone, and none were affected. So that, again, was very reassuring, and there were no off-target effects. I show the heart muscle here because that was one that was of concern to the FDA. And after 15 months of a non-human primate study, we found that there were no off-target side effects for the heart. So then we took this to clinical trial where we are now, and I'll show you the results. The FDA approved clinical trial with an IND, asked us to do patients who were 18 years and older, and this was not a big barrier studying Becker patients. Criteria for inclusion, they had to have weak quadriceps muscle. We mandated that they had to be able to complete the 6-minute walk test, which has now obviously become the gold standard for many clinical trials. And we had a DSMB that requested, based on some other studies that we had done, that there might be an immune response to AAV. And we had to use prednisone in patients who had Becker dystrophy, which is not the standard of care. But we started the prednisone 1 month before we did the gene injections. It was a dose escalation study, and we found actually very little difference between these two dosing levels, as you'll see in the results here. We injected the quadriceps muscle in 12 sites on each leg, 4 in vastus lateralis, 4 in rectus femoris, and 4 injections in the vastus medialis. This is really a picture of what we did here. You can see it very clearly. We marked these sites out previous to the gene therapy trial with an interventional radiologist who gave us ultrasound guidance in order to inject the muscle. And here I am injecting the muscle. Here's the interventional radiologist guiding this. And actually on the other side of this is a picture not shown of Kevin Flanagan, who's doing EMG recording from the needle that we're putting in. So we had a team that worked on this. Now, the results actually were very gratifying. We had most patients who responded to treatment. This is a patient who increased the 6-minute walk distance by 125 meters. This is another patient who increased the walk distance by 56 meters. And this one less so by 29 meters. And here's the data that shows you this. This is the patient who increased at 1 year, increased walk distance by 58 meters. He also ascended stair climbing at a faster rate, which was reassuring in terms of confirmatory clinical finding. Here's the patient who increased the walk distance by 125 meters and also did better on stair climbing. And the third patient who is... this patient is 9 meters and actually didn't have any effect on stair climbing. I think this is probably well within the distance of probably no clinical effect. So 2 out of 3 in the low dose improved. In the high dose, we saw, again, 2 patients who responded to treatment, one at 108 meters, another at 30 meters, or 29 meters, and then one who, again, did not respond. This is six-month data. And here's the individual numbers. This is the patient who didn't respond in the six-minute walk time. And I'm sorry. This is the patient who did increase walk time by 108 meters. And finally, the patient who increased by 29 meters. So I think we had clear effect of follistatin in the six-minute walk distance by injecting follistatin in the thigh muscle. And what we looked at post, unfortunately, I'd say post gene therapy, was the concept that has been evolving that these injections should be guided more by MRI, and that's exactly what you'll see here. We should have done this. This is the patient who probably didn't respond at 9 meters, and you can see the degree of fibrosis in the thigh muscle. This was probably too late to make any significant correction. On the other hand, here's the patient who improved the six-minute walk distance by 108 meters, and we have a much more open field with less fibrosis to inject the thigh muscle. The other thing that was very striking in the clinical trial as we began to complete the clinical trial was that there was muscle hypertrophy. It was often focal, as you see here, and this is probably related to areas of fibrosis, so that if we do this kind of study again, we would really have it guided better by MRI. But this is a clear proof of principle that this methodology can work and is potentially effective. And here again is focal thigh muscle hypertrophy. Our plan actually, here's a histology slide post-biopsy. This is the 1 year time point, and you can see that the muscle pathology improved significantly. Here we see clumps of muscle fibers and individual small fibers, and as we move forward a year later, we see much more normal-looking muscle with much less endomysial connective tissue. So I think we have several confirmatory findings to the six-minute walk distance. So in summary, what we have is we have a very safe trial. FDA was considerably worried about follistatin inducing adverse events. We found absolutely no adverse events and no significant adverse events. And so this was very gratifying. And as we looked at other organ systems, we never found any significant involvement. Our plan actually is to take this to the Duchenne population and redistribute the follistatin gene in a way that might have a clinically meaningful effect for the Duchenne patients. We would like to inject the gluteal muscles, the thigh muscle, and the tibialis anterior muscle in these patients and redistribute the same amount of virus. We can do this under the same IND. We've asked the FDA if we could move ahead with this. We actually have enough virus produced from our first round of Becker patients so that it'll be, we could initiate this trial almost immediately, and we've applied to many resources for funding for this trial, including PPMD. And the one point about moving forward, really looking ahead, even beyond the follistatin trial in the Duchenne patient, is a finding that we observed in mice, in MDX mice, who are dystrophin deficient. When we looked at co-delivery of follistatin in the MDX mouse, we found remarkably normal findings. Here's the picture of a histogram that shows the MDX mouse, with just microdystrophin and follistatin delivery. And here it is comparatively when we did co-delivery of follistatin plus microdystrophin. We have really normalized the mouse to actually normalized the mouse completely within a normal range. And I think this would be our ultimate goal. So I think we can offer the Duchenne patients a significant improvement in end function by doing potentially in the long run follistatin plus dystrophin. There may be ways to deliver dystrophin, such as exon skipping, for example, which would give us rather diffuse upregulation of dystrophin. We could do it also with co-delivery with gene therapy. So I think this is our long-term goal. Our first trial will be follistatin, and I think we can improve the 6-minute walk distance and improve the strength in the lower extremities or possibly other muscles that we select with follistatin gene delivery. And I especially want to thank the Parent Project. They supported the Becker muscular dystrophy trial. It would have never been done without their support. It was also part of our Wellstone Muscular Dystrophy Center. So these were the two principal funding agencies. And this was a collective project that was done between many people in our center. Brian Kaspar was critical. And I want to point out that Linda Lowes and Lindsay Alfano did the 6-minute walk test and the other clinical parameters for this trial. So I'll stop there and turn it over to the next speaker. Thank you.